In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Surely they dealt with storms before, but this one was different. The wind was stronger than ever before, the waves were higher. The boat was filled with more water than ever before. They're not exaggerating when they say that they are on the brink of death. So they're terrified. And all this is a picture of the Holy Christian Church. The preservation of this church is no smaller a miracle than the preservation of that boat. It should have sunk. The church should not survive. It looks weak and broken, splintered into many factions and denominations. She holds no sway in our community, and in other cultures and places, it's far worse. She's driven out, persecuted, and even killed, even to this day. The waves of science and progressive morality knock her around and at times even completely cover her deck. And all this is just what goes on the outside. On the inside, it doesn't look much better. The disciples are running around frantically trying to figure out what to do. On the inside of the church, some ministers commit horrific acts and others try to cover it up. Some laity blatantly deny the word of God and live in open rebellion and sin against God and yet still try to call themselves Christians. And what about us? Where has our heart been? It is filled with just as much anger and lust and worry and sorrow because we fail to see who the Lord is. We have fallen into temptation, maybe not as graphically and horrifically, but the wages of sin is still death. We're not spared from Alzheimer's, cancer, depression, loneliness, just because we call ourselves Christians. We also struggle. We also struggle to make ends meet. We also get laid off at work. We also need surgeries and assistance and medication. We grow tired and frustrated and don't always know what to do. We don't always have it all together. And yet this is the glorious church, that boat which Christ said not even the gates of hell can prevail against her. We don't see it. When you look at the state of the church today, it doesn't look like something you want to be part of. It doesn't look like it will survive. And many congregations don't survive. Christ has promised that hell would not prevail against his church, but no synod, no denomination, and no individual congregation has that particular promise for itself. You can look into Europe. You can look at North Africa or Asia, once hotbeds of Christianity where the church flourished, now nothing more than museums. And what of this church, Living Word Lutheran Church? How much longer will she last? Perhaps this will be the last year of this church's existence. Perhaps. The Lord only knows. But either way, the Holy Christian Church must continue, if not here, then somewhere else. So as the winds and the waves blew, the disciples didn't know what they should do. And Jesus was sleeping through it all. The church is filled with immorality, battered from without and from within. And Jesus simply looks like he is oblivious to it all, as if he could care less. And so we've turned our trust and our attention toward science and toward knowledge because knowledge is power. We've taken the business strategies and marketing techniques of the world to try to grow and prosper the church because we don't trust in Christ. He looks like he's sleeping. We've offered our prayers up to God, but they seemingly are unheard and unanswered. Why would he let his church flounder like this? Why would he sleep while this world doesn't just beat on the door, but crashes onto the deck, soaking its members down to the very bone, causing pain and suffering, afflicting them daily? Why? The disciples wake him, and Jesus jumps into action. not by rebuking the storm, but by speaking his word to those disciples. He brought them to the point of despair so they would cry out to him for help. And he does the same with you. When your life is going the way that you have planned, when your dreams are succeeding, when things look like they are prospering for you, you let Jesus sleep. You ignore him. Because you've handled diseases before. You perhaps have even dealt with cancer before. You've struggled through life, but you've always found a way to succeed and to get out on top. But then Christ allows those waves to get higher and the winds to get more fierce, and he brings you lower and lower and lower. As this disease is far worse, this cancer seems to be the end, and this struggle is the one that breaks the camel's back. He takes away all that we trusted in, and our plans, our ideas, come to nothing. And when we've exhausted all of our options, when we have dropped those oars and let go of the sails, then we are at our strongest. Because then we stop and we recognize who is in the boat with us. It is Christ, the Lord. It is his church, not ours. He preserves it, not us. He grows it, not us. And he is always with his church in that boat. He doesn't rule far off in the distance while we struggle down here below. But wherever we are, there Christ is. So he endures the crashing sea and the beating winds, the immoral culture and the progressive society. He endures the persecution, the trials, and the pains that some Christians face. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" he says. When you hurt, he hurts. When you cry, he cries. For you are his body and he is your head. He endures all that you go through. You are never alone. You face nothing alone. But Christ is with you every step of the way. Christ who rose from the dead. Christ who conquered all your enemies. Christ who destroyed Satan, crushing his head once and for all. Christ who overcame the world. Christ who paid for all of your sins. Christ who can never suffer again. This Christ is with you all the way. And so you are part of a holy, glorious church, though you do not see it or even feel it. The church is hidden. We believe it. We confess it. But we cannot really observe it. The church is tossed around by the world's convictions and swamped by immorality. It doesn't look holy and glorious. It doesn't look like the saints are holy as they succumb to temptation after temptation. But stop looking at what you see and start looking at who is with you in that boat. Christ is with you. So you cannot fail. The church cannot fail. She cannot sink. For what is hidden from our eyes is believed by faith. The church is hidden. And yet, nevertheless, it is a present reality in this world. The church is all believers throughout the world. So we find this church wherever the gospel is rightly preached and wherever the sacraments are properly administered. For these are the means that God uses to create and to sustain his church. The forgiveness of sins. But this too is hidden. The forgiveness of sins is hidden from our observation. We hear it, we receive it, but we cannot see it washing away the immorality or the doubting, the sin or the transgression. We cannot see it cleansing our bodies or souls, strengthening our ankles or steadying our knees. And yet it does just that. Like the world, we still see broken arms and failing joints. We still feel a torn heart. We feel the pain. We feel like we can't hold it all together. So the church is hidden from our eyes. It's hidden from our minds. And it's even hidden from our feelings. We see a rickety boat. And yet Christ is the one who is present with her to sustain her through the forgiveness of sins. We believe that Christ is there. giving us his forgiveness day after day in the word and in the sacraments. And so we see a beautiful, glorious church sailing straight through the very gates of hell because Christ is with her, forgiving her each and every day. Forgiveness is the beauty of the church. It is not found in gold books, gold cups, ceremonies, vestments, large numbers, beautiful music, or anything like that. The church is found in the word, in water, in bread, and wine. For there we find forgiveness from all our sins. Christ is hidden in these things to preserve the church. So the church is hidden behind plagues and cancer, disease, and even death. And yet it still is a reality. We believe it, we confess it. You are in that boat because you believe and you confess. And Christ is there with you. He will sustain you. He will calm the winds and quiet the seas. He will. But before he does that, before he takes you out of this world, he first stops and speaks to you. Christ is with you. You have nothing to fear. Christ will fight for you. You need only to be still. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.